Hello, this is Daryl War, and I am making this as a instructional manual podcast, and I'll add some other stuff, but I'm going to put the instruction manual in audio at the beginning, so that if you want to go back and find out how to enjoy yourself and be helpful, or be helpful and enjoy yourself, then you can just go to the beginning. All right, let's go. I'm going to start with people using iTunes. If you have iTunes, you go to podcast, TV, and film, Daryl War, the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows podcast. There you'll see the list of all the episodes. In your iTunes application, on the left-hand side, audio, TV, and film, and then you'll see links, website, go to website. When you click on website, another web browser will open if you've got the appropriate equipment. And you will see the Podomatic site. And then you'll see the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows on Podomatic, which I've been paying for since 2014. Got so excited. And under that, I've left this here for about a year. This series was brought to the online world for the purpose of discussion and audience participation. This is true. If this page is giving you trouble, try, and then there is the URL for the bit of ultimatedarkshadows.wordpress.com. However, if you're enjoying just bits and pieces and Podomatic is easier for you, you can go, if your equipment is willing and able, to comment via the Podomatic site, and I will be able to receive those. So that is step two. If you have iTunes or are subscribed via iTunes, that's step one. But if you aren't, this might be your first step, is the Podomatic site. There are ways to comment. If you open podcast, it'll just play, like any kind of pit update or any episode. You go to the title, it will become a link, and you will go to the episode. It will start playing unless you pause. Some of the people who are experienced YouTube viewers sometimes know that your Wi-Fi access, you just have to pause and let it load. Same goes with the podcast. But if you just want to comment, yeah, pause. Or listen and then comment or whatever. The other thing you can do, if you've already listened to some of these podcasts, particularly the radio drama, that's what I'm shooting for with this instruction manual, is you would go to one of the podcast episodes, either click on leave a comment at the bottom of the summary for that podcast, or if there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 comments, you would go to that, wherever it says comment, and then you would hit the link for that, and it might jimmy a little bit in your window, comment on this episode. With comment on this episode, it doesn't look like you can leave a name, so you might want to sign it with something, preferably something I know you by. Also, for pen pals, too, just some sort of initials, because I know you guys are interested, too. And then whatever you're thinking about, just go ahead. Or if you want to say, hi, it's just me, because I know who you are and you know who I am, because we've been writing to each other for a while, some way, just, hi, it's just me. So this is my stat, and it's my responsibility. This is me. Here I am. I've left my interest and my name, and hi, it's just me. And I say that for fanfiction.net as well. So you are possibly wanting to do a little bit more, and at about the top of the Podomatic site is the URL for the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows.wordpress.com. If you copy and paste that to another window, you will get the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows.wordpress.com, the WordPress site. Now it will say the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, a world of darkness lit only by our love. That is a quotation that I merged between Barnabas and Josette from 1796, when they were about to consummate their love and their self-made marriage. It just really touched me, and it really touched other people. It's lovely. And that was from an episode written by Ron Sproat, where Barnabas is warning Josette, it'll be a world of darkness. And she says, lit only by our love. And he says, yes, only by our love. And you get chilled, you know, if you're into that romance, boy, yeah, it just gets to you. You know, at first I was like, oh, this is so melodramatic, but now I'm so involved, so, yeah, gives me the chills. But the collage, yeah, I worked on it a long time, and it's got Morticia and Victoria, Milligan and Hecubus, Mrs. Johnson, and Sophia Petrillo. It's really just Estelle Getty. I just grabbed some, because she would be younger. She was telling a story. And Wadsworth and Willie, Angelique and Beetlejuice, Barnabas and Maggie, Sam and Captain Greg, Tony and Carolyn, which were really the first couple I was hurting for. And Change Things, Wadsworth and Barnabas, Elizabeth and Lily, Barnabas, and if you really look closely, there's the TARDIS in the distance, and Dr. Hoffman and Dr. Hawkeye Pierce. It just works so well. Because we're using a lot of television that was both in black and white and in color, so I just try to arrange it back and forth like that. Now, the thing about the WordPress weblog is that, yeah, there's some various comments. People just come in and type a little something. It doesn't necessarily make sense. The main thing about this site is that when you go there, underneath the collage is Episode 1, Parapsychology, Episode 2, Chamber Pots and Coffee Cups, Episode 3, The Strega of Brooklyn. All of those, if you put your cursor or your finger or your stylus or whatever over that episode that you have chosen, like Episode 4, Captain Greg Gets Bent, you choose that one, click on it, and it will take you solely to that episode. So it'll look all the same, but when you scroll down, you'll see when I made that file for the weblog, and it'll express to you the details of creating that episode, and then a line, and then the summary. The links to Podomatic, Podbay, archive.org, and then the link to the script, which for right now, I am focusing on fanfiction.net for the script, because I really do feel like they've made it the easiest for us. Now, it says, please respond to one or more of these inquiries, and I set them up to the best of my ability, and have also added a video if you just want the narrative and not the intro. So you can leave a reply on this weblog on these episodes. And the questions, for example, for Episode 4, Captain Greg Gets Bent, there are 1 through 9, because I was trying to break it down. I just did my best from my experience in the public school system as a student and as a teacher. What might help? To get your conversation skills going, because they are out of sync with what we used to have. And if you're a younger listener, hopefully you've had enough telephone conversations or enough face-to-face conversations to understand where this is going. And if you need help, please email me, because I can do it as long as you can do some kind of long message that I understand. I don't get the chat speak, especially in email. It's just like, why waste an email just for one word? Or one sentence, or two sentences. I don't understand it. That's why I've called this an exploded generation gap, because the communication is really changed too much to be negotiable. Anyway, if you have your own thoughts about an episode, something that I didn't ask, go ahead and use the WordPress, or go to fanfiction.net. I've actually discovered that depending on how recently you used it, you can put in a whole lot of comments as a guest and it won't matter. If it's a signature with an account, you can only put in one per episode / chapter segment. But if you're a guest and you go in multiple times over a certain number of days, sometimes it'll just go through. That is about as much as I think I can explain at this point. I am trying to come up with other ways that it will be easier and evenly distributed as far as scenes go, because it almost feels like, in comparison to Dark Shadows, a Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows scene is about as good as a whole episode of Dark Shadows. It really feels like that, because sometimes you're watching and it's just like, oh my gosh, this is taking forever. It's taking forever. You know, when are we going to get into the nitty-gritties? But with the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, the nitty-gritties just keep going. I really tried to make it as focused and condensed as I could. That's why, you know, you think, oh, well, episode one's going to be a condensed thing of the whole show. There's no way. There's no way. I mean, I was showing people scrapbook memories, my scrapbook memories of Dark Shadows by Kathleen Lee Scott. It took 23 pages. And like I said, it's not perfect. It's just damn well near perfect. There's a lot of stuff missing, little details that could have been implemented, but she did the best she could, and it is damn well near as perfect as we're going to get for a summary. And even then, there was a pen pal, and I had to explain a lot of stuff. So, if you're going from iTunes, go to the website link. When you go to the website link, go to Podomatic. When you go to Podomatic, if commenting there is too difficult, then you go to thepitofultimatedarkshadows.wordpress.com. Main thing is, under the collage, the episode, number, and titles, those are all buttons, and you use those as buttons to get to the episode you want. And if you go to episode 1, Parapsychology, and you go through the column of what's going on, this one doesn't have a bullet list. The questions are basically the bullet list for this episode, for this website. Under the photo of Wadsworth and Barnabas, you'll see below related, it'll say episode 2, Chamber Pots and Coffee Cups, with a teeny tiny arrow. And when you click on episode 2, Chamber Pots and Coffee Cups, then you're led to what looks like the same thing, but as you scroll down, that's episode 2. So if you want to go sequentially, you can go through episode 1, and then there's the little arrow, little link that will get you to episode 2. Same thing goes with all the subsequent episodes. As you get to the end of episode 2 at that website, you will see episode 3, a link to that. So that is how it's formulated. If you want to just go step by step, one by one, there you are, however you want to do it. The best thing that has worked so far is people being in touch with me personally. Because it really does get to the point where, you know, voice call, telephone call, to me, they're about the same thing. And if you've listened to an episode, I'm about ready to just go through making the responsive notes for you in a telephone call. Because it's just crazy how wild all of this has gotten with the miscommunication issues and the lack of correspondence issues. So hopefully all of that will make some kind of sense. I hope this helps, and now I will continue to talk about other things, such as reviews that I've gotten, and I hope you enjoy that. But if you want to use the instruction manual again, go to the beginning of this podcast. Go through the rigmarole again. And if you're just looking for Captain Greg stuff, Ghost of Mrs. Muir stuff, Lily Munster stuff, you know, I got one episode with Grandpa Munster that I'd love. If you're just in it for that, go ahead and give me that. If you're just in it for Captain Greg, great. I'd love to hear about it. If you're just in it for Endora, I'd love to hear about it. That's why I tried to spread it around. It used to be just for Dark Shadows fans, but then I realized, no, this is too big and it needs to go out. It is about, we're all in this together. So if there is a single component that you are interested in, you find that there, and you want to say something about that character or that fandom that you are enjoying, I want to hear it. That is why I shared this. So I welcome that. I'm sorry that a lot of critiquing messed up the works. A lot of the idea of being critical messed up the works. That's not why I shared this. I shared this for enjoyment. I shared this for escapism. I resigned my job to find out what you liked. That's pretty much it, and kindred spirits and all that. Now we will continue. Now, one of the things I particularly like about some of these extracurricular podcasts, although I really do want to get back to the narrative, that's why I'm creating this, is that some of you have really just come through so well for me, and it's almost like we got this like little secret club, even though I'm on iTunes and I'm on all these platforms, and it's just, if you can get in touch with me by email or by postal mail or over the phone, yeah, there's a pit crew growing, and we've got our own little kind of secret club, even though it's all over the place, because I try to shield everybody, give you different names, all that kind of stuff. It's kind of like going back to what the internet was made for, where it's just me and you and us, and there's a pit crew growing, and I'd like it to grow more. So if you feel that you are a part of it, get in touch. Now, it's really funny because so many people over the years have been wanting to send me gifts when I really don't have the room for it. I'm still trying to figure out how am I going to get all these VHS tapes onto digital so they can be on DVD? And, you know, it's just a mountain of stuff to go through. So that's why I said postage stamps are very appreciated to send me. I might actually just get rid of the Patreon account because it really has not been doing any good. There really isn't anyone who can tell me how to effectively use it, and I've had at least one big donation that I was not able to get. So I'm going to go through what really makes me happy. I've tried to tell all y'all that for ages, and it is reviews. I've had a pen pal or two, not sure what I wanted, and they seem pretty darn good at being able to express themselves in certain ways without any need for a Q&A, without any need for a bullet list. And our buddy Tito is able to do that. He got to episode 5 in February, and this was his take on Saving Pop. This installment in the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadow series got me thinking about the appeal of the serial format. I think with this episode, you have enough history behind the narrative present that you can be assured that even a seemingly trivial conversation delivered as a series of professional courtesies can result in a variable clusterfuck of events that seem out of sync with the idyllic universe of Carolyn and Tony. From the previous episode, you have these very calm discussions between Wadsworth and Sam Evans, presumably with Barnabas, that precipitates an artistic voodoo onslaught. One that has implications for this very episode. More on that later. So in this episode, you have a conversation with Professor Stokes and Barnabas, and you are probably thinking, this Professor Stokes guy knows too much. Time to maybe, I don't know, kill him, you know? But discarding that notion as a bit excessive and out of character, you listen to what this guy has to say. Their conversation goes into a few different areas that I don't have the background knowledge to fathom. A lot of insider stuff that makes sense if you are a vampire or your ancestors adhere to very limited geographic boundaries. And that I love, just because everything just seems to converge on this little main town. There are a couple people of mutual interest they discuss while looking over some postcards. He's just observing, and it's great. The conversation seems innocuous enough regarding the third parties mentioned, but after what happened to Angelique, well, you just don't know, do you? So that is a cool thing that this series does for me. There are some patterns that sometimes repeat and sometimes don't, real profound. Now whenever Barnabas has a chill discussion of any kind, I'm like, oh shit, it's on. And then he quotes, Sam, I don't blame you for saying so. Anything might be crucial to your existence at this point. I'd wager 20 supplements a day. This could be the most wicked burn of the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadow series, and it is a moment that validates my thesis that this story takes you from point A, kind of polite and safe, to point B, where David Lynch runs screaming from the audience, and you have no idea what that meant to me, because, oh, under a lot of peer pressure, a lot of the time, I sat through David Lynch productions. It's like, oh, am I really into this? I'm not sure. And he just creeps you out so much with his technique. So if I could possibly make David Lynch run screaming from the audience, my job is done. This scene is the point of insertion for Captain Greg, who has seemed to be a god or something. Now, in painting form, he is confronted by the desecrator of the likeness of Angelique Bouchard, meaning Sam Evans, whose body is temporarily possessed by some French guy, meaning Andre Dupre, who he, Captain Greg, has previously met. So it is already crazy, and then withered creature, unquote, comes in making strange demands and wondering who the hell is in that painting. The scene ends on a clever note with the painting and the dude becoming focused on their respective role in a professional relationship. It reminds me of the way a barber talks to the client. I tend to focus on the craziest aspects of any story. I like it when you can do far-out things and retain a coherence and structure, maintain a reference in terms of the characters and their continuity. This episode has a lot of cool development in the integration of Maggie into the story, laying the groundwork, I assume, for future intrigue. Prisoner reference was sick, because we had that scene that I took from Dance of the Dead, and Tito wraps it up with, be seeing you Oh, it's just so many friends that I've lost, and sometimes it just is so fabulous to find these things that you just missed so badly with what's happened to all of us. And that's when you really know, yeah, this is it. This is what we're living for. These really wonderful things that we built up in relationships over the decades. Now, I really wanted to get to this bit in episode 15, A Blundering Succubus, from what Lisa was saying. It must be difficult for Nicholas and Angelique to conduct business outside of the Collinsport Inn. Love the appearance of the fly at the old house. That made me laugh. Ah, Angelique doesn't disappoint, panting after and trying to lure Barnabas yet again. Sincerely hope she is not successful. Two boats passing in the night. Laugh out loud. And I'd rather cut him off at the pants. Ha, in her dreams. Nicholas seems rather testy. Maybe it's those not so luxurious quarters. Love when he and Angelique verbally spar, always good entertainment value. And that's because Lisa knows the original show, she knows that they do that, and that's what I catered to. Angelique, I wish I had a broom to ride. And Roger's always been good for a drink. And she's laughing, very funny. Roger, Cassandra, really, seriously, blonde, you did spend a lot of time in that beauty parlor in Boston. Love the way that Lily handled Angelique and then sent her on her way. Had to laugh at Roger's musings about mother's side of the family. And she definitely laughed at Morticia saying, Grandmama knows exactly what she's doing most of the time. And Grandmama, golly Moses, what a widow's peak he had! And for a man of the 18th century, he seemed to have a preoccupation for Volkswagens. That last one is particularly funny because every time I watch that scene where he writes Victoria's initials on the doorstep of the old house, I always think Volkswagen. So that's another thing that I was telling her over the phone recently. I was looking for kindred spirits, and then when I meet you and Taryn talking over the phone and Melissa and all this, we have all of this stuff just immediately in common. It's incredible. VW Love Bug Sticker. Willie and Sarah playing, very sweet. Willie finally gets some good childhood experiences, even if it is as an adult. And that is really important, what Lisa was saying. As I was growing through my teens and my 20s, it was always really good to go back to children's programming and go back to just playing with the ideas of being a kid. I mean, some people have children in order to have an excuse to re-experience that stuff, but you really don't need an excuse. I mean, if you just get back in touch with some of the things as a kid, especially when a lot of people have been like, oh, Dark Shadows, my childhood. Well, how about getting in touch with other parts of your childhood? There are so many things that we all need to reevaluate over the years. And we just haven't been doing that because we're in such a rush with all of this stuff. But yeah, you really want to go back to just some simple stuff. Just relax. Just turn everything off. Either go to children's books, go to children's programming, turn all the internet crap off, turn off your Wi-Fi access somehow. If you've got a television set, a DVD, a VHS that still works, whatever, just try and turn whatever you can off so you can focus. Fall asleep in front of the TV, in front of children's programming. Just get cozy. Really, just get cozy. There's no reason to worry about keeping current. I mean, unless it's local. And you got to deal with things in your neighborhood. There is just no reason to worry about it. And then Maggie has such empathy for Willie and what he's endured, both in his distant and recent past. I like Maggie's observation in regards to falling in love, not only with lovers, but with friends too. That is really very deep and profound, and is a real-life occurrence that is often ignored, unrecognized, unappreciated, ridiculed, or all four. And she's right. You know, I mean, all these people looking for happiness. You're looking for happiness, I hope. And we found it in friendship. I found it with my husband. We're all looking for it, and we think that we have to cater to all of these advertisers and all of these critics, and that's not the way it works. It really isn't. You get in touch with yourself. That's what you need. I also loved when Barnabas says to Maggie that he is in love with both a friend and a lover. Very moving, very sweet, and revealing conversation between Sarah and Willie. Sarah can be mysterious in her conversations. She knows things that others don't and understands them more as well, I think. It is very easy give and take with her and Willie, and he is very relaxed and content. And that was the thing that I didn't understand what was going to happen. I just let it all guide me characters. And as they do, there is Sarah and Willie. They have already met before when I interrupted the series. When they re-meet again, it's just opening so many doors for Willie. It's allowing Sarah to guide him into, let your child self come out. Don't be a nasty adult. Be a child again. Which is another reason I firmly believe a lot of us gravitate to Willie. Because he's Mr. Jitters, and there are these things that he just hasn't worked out in his childhood. We just see these reverberations out of ourselves. But we gravitate to him because we feel that childlike quality that he hasn't really dealt with, that he needs to get in touch with in order to grow. And there Sarah is, giving it to him in The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. I just didn't plan it, but there it is. As we pan back to Barnabas and Maggie in Josette's room, which I've noticed when I have Maggie in Josette's room, that's when she gets more grounded in her previous life. For some reason, it calms her, that saves her. Even after the kidnapping, for some reason, it's like, okay, now I know who I am, and she gets along like Morticia Adams. It's really interesting. Just calm and, okay, you know, I'm going to deal with all of this stuff, because at this point, in The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, Maggie has been through 2 lifetimes that she's digesting, 3 if you count Hansel Bachmar, which I just made up. She's got at least 60 years of experience that she is dealing with. So she becomes very calm in that, okay, this is who I am and this other stuff's happening and I have to deal with this. But having all that information just digesting through her, she gets very calm and very wise and very different and not like we're used to seeing in Maggie Evans. And I noticed that with the movie with the character who is a reincarnation of Josette, where she just starts to calm down and understand, you know, I'm looking for myself in this, and she's finding herself. So it's similar, even though I started this before that was out there. But it's a validation, too. Now, what I particularly was looking for, when Barnabas meets the ghost of Caleb Collins, Lisa's enjoying the music for episode 15. When Caleb says, none of that parallel time nonsense, Lisa says, thank God for that. No good ever came from any of it. Oh, and laugh out loud, Margaret Dupre, Kitty Evans, or Josette Soames, because that's what Caleb is saying. Margaret Dupre, Kitty Evans, or Josette Soames, playing with all the different names and mixing them up, the first names and last names. And Lisa says, yeah, you need a playbill to keep this stuff straight. I like where Caleb says of Maggie, she's already changed you, to Barnabas. And that's no small accomplishment. Can't argue with that. So that's good. With some pen pals, because I wanted to focus on that now. Overseas especially. What comes up is, oh yeah, I saw the Dark Shadows movie. It was really fun. And oh, I've been surrounded by people who just, they can't stop hating on it. Are they crazy? You know, that's what I get from pen pals overseas. Are they crazy? Or some of the younger pen pals. How insane are these people? I'm like, I know. It's great just because it is really, I mean, I was going to stay away from the subject, but this is just ridiculous. I mean, I saw it coming with that Time Machine remake where people are starting to hate, and it's like, what is the point? And what are you insecure about? How does this threaten you in any way? And that is how I've found Lisa to be such a wonderful fan of Dark Shadows, because if somebody has seen a different version, whether it's the revival or the 2012 film, she says, that will never do. And then she introduces them to the original. She doesn't sit there and go lambasting for days. She introduces them to the original, which is what a good fan does. You know, and that's why Star Trek has been so successful. People are very welcoming, or at least they were when I was growing up. You have that. And then, of course, with Dark Shadows fans, it doesn't become, in previous decades, about watching the original show. It's read my fan fiction. And that's why initially, I was like, oh, I'll take anyone. It's going to be so expensive. But now that it's becoming more available, I'm more than happy to just say, yeah, go for it. And here's all this stuff. And because I've just grounded myself. And yeah, it's really important. And I want to get it as accurate as possible. I just felt like it was never going to happen that I was going to find any fans who were going to shoot for accuracy because of what I was seeing. But anyway, yeah, from Pen Pals, and thank you so much. They've been asking, are these people crazy? And I go, have you used social media? And it's either very little or they answer no. And I say, there you go. That's part of the big issue here is it's messing with everybody's heads. One thing that was really funny, I asked Lisa, because I do have to hear about things going on the social networks. And I asked Lisa, are people still spending a lot of time dissing the West Coast? And she's like, oh, all the time. They're just upset. And I go, well, isn't that interesting that they are so angry at a portion of the country and continent on a communication platform that was built in places that they're complaining about? I mean, that's where a lot of that stuff was designed. And these bits of angst against certain regions, it's like, well, then what are you doing? I mean, have you questioned yourself about that? Have you looked into where some of the HQs of these places are? They got you hook, line, and sinker. What good is going to do to use their companies and their services to complain about them? I mean, you're giving them tons of money by catering and using their systems. Yeah, it's a little scary just because sometimes you get into a mood of conspiracy theory and you wonder, well, did you guys actually map this out where you said, oh no, it's going to be easy, and then get people in thinking it's going to be easy? But who really has the power? The people creating the machines, the people designing the programs. That's who's got it. And no matter how much you rant and rave, unless you step up to the plate and learn the techniques and the designs and the functions and how to use the equipment, you're sunk. You're just at their mercy. That's all you got. And that was another reason that critiquing became a bit more popular, because people realized that what was coming out of Hollywood and out of the production studios as far as narrative was going was kind of insulting their intelligence. The problem being that it didn't maintain any kind of understanding of life versus fiction or any socially redeeming productions. It just became bash culture. And how is that socially redeeming? It's not. People get very angry and upset over nothing, such as a film, be it the 2012 film or the Time Machine 2002 or anything else, getting so rankled. That is not good for your health to constantly be that way. Or as somebody once told me, making hate into a vocation is something else. You're just not enjoying your life, and you are actually lowering your lifespan by engaging in that constant upset. I'm sure if you go to a physician and ask them about it, they will admit you really need to relax and spend time enjoying your life and the things that interest you. I am very confident many a physician will tell you that if you go and visit them. So going back to Pen Pals, I feel pretty confident that mentioning Letter Writers Alliance is safe. I've done it before. It was how Hidden Object and I became pen pals. And thank heavens, because there was a time where Hidden Object and I were worried that, well, maybe we don't have enough in common, because back then with LWA, it was far more of a crapshoot just exchanging addresses than really knowing if there's anything in common. And they've worked on that since then. Now they've changed how they introduce pen pals to each other with generalized interests, when before it was just address swap. But what Hidden Object and I discovered when we were a little worried that we didn't have enough in common, one of us mentioned Hidden Object computer games that tend to be spooky, and then we were off to the races. It was just opening so many doors. Oh, if you got this complicated thing in common, there's all these other little bits, and it's scary thinking about what would have happened to either of us if we had just parted company, because we've been each other's trench buddy. We had no idea what horrible thing social media was going to do to both of our lives. Also noticing craft work, handicrafts, sewing, mending, embroidery, what have you, that we also both did, and realizing, yeah, that's why we're a different set of people, the doers and the makers. With Letter Writers Alliance, they really have come through now with their pen pal swap. it was really something else to see these updates in the last few years, where they were really striving to make sure if you're in it, be in it. Don't just do this on a whim. You know, don't sit and wait and actually write and respond. Give your pal a chance. Two or three letters before you decide if it's a good pen match. And don't waste the time of your potential pal or Kathy's time matching you up if you aren't even going to write the first letter. And then I noticed too, and I was showing Jonah this and just busted up, be respectful of your pen pal and don't be a jerk. And it's written, for real, guys, or I swear I'll turn this car around. Because I don't know what generation you come from, but there were times you're sitting in the backseat of your parent or guardian's car, and they will say that, you know, if you're not behaving, I'm going to turn the car around. We ain't going to the theme park. We ain't going to any park. We're going to go home. Especially at the end. In return, the LWA will match you with as many pen pals as you wish for free. For as long as the organization is in service, the LWA also agrees to keep your information safe and not share it with anyone other than the pen pals you requested. We will not sell your information or otherwise do anything evil or anything worthy of mustache twirling. Mustache twirling with the information you have given us. View our privacy policy for more info on our information policies. And the button says, I agree. Gosh, because like, well, gotta be, use a little humor of, you know, are you really paying attention? You're not just sitting there being a zombie going, I don't want a pen pal. To that effect. And there are a lot of other pen pal platforms. I don't really feel able to say more than that, but there are quite a few out there. Some cost, this one costs just a little bit. I think they mainly focus on the merchandise sales to be able to make ends meet, because at this time it's only $5 to be a member. So, yeah, it's really been beneficial. I've been wanting to go back to Pen Pal since 2014, because as I was falling into the undertow of the social media stuff, it just looked worse and worse and worse. And even with Pen Pal groups on social media sites, there's just nothing happening. You know, maybe you get lucky every once in a while. I mean, it is an even bigger crapshoot than Letter Writers Alliance once was. You're just not getting anywhere. And plus, if the people using social media already are looking for pen pals, they're not going to understand it because they're used to chat speak. They've gotten too used to that style of communication where it's about memes and it's about chat speak and it's about one or two words or one or two sentences. It's really rough because we really built a lot of quote-unquote civilization up, and that took a lot of time. Just like learning by experience takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of consultation with other people that are trustworthy, or at least are trustworthy in your particular needs in that time frame. And it's so easy to destroy, and we're seeing it just happening everywhere. So that's another reason that I am very pro letter writing. It's getting my needs met, and it was getting my needs met most of my life. It was what a lot of this technology was based on, and that is part of the problem, because as far as my experience with a lot of computer programmers, they just wanted to cut so many corners all the time with communication, and writing letters could be very difficult. So there are these long-term things that have become trendy to just dismiss, and it's just not healthy. And it's also got to make a lot of people listening to this scratch their heads. Because there's this idea that progress means discarding the old ways. But it's different options, really. That's all it really is. A lot of this technology is relatively new, brand new. And we're seeing effects to our health just by having these other options that we start thinking, believing, for some reason, are mandatory. They are not. They're not mandatory. They are choice. And with humans in general, you do get a lot of environmental influences when you're surrounded by a lot of stuff, and it's often possible, we've seen it in other storytelling and historical references, that it can tear up the fabric of a society, depending on which way it's going. which is why within, I believe, the 20th century, it was really focused on where are we going and what do we want to accomplish and how do we keep people within some centralized ideas that will benefit the society. Meanwhile, well, we gotta put bread on the table, so what can we do to make money? And then a little bit of, well, let's use a little bit of the critter mentality, and we can distract people a little bit over here. You know, we've seen it in commercial advertising. That's why, you know, the soda floating through the air, get your mouth watering, all that stuff they do to make you buy food that probably isn't good for you at all. Those are just methods and ways. And now, of course, the informational technologies are also being inundated with that kind of stuff. So what once was a promised land and a new venture went down the same avenues. Television, originally, the idea was educational. And then you get all these advertisers in to try to grab your attention. Well, then, when is it educational? Sometimes, but you got to be really choosy and you have to be focused. So with the informational technologies now, there's not as much information so much as trying to distract everyone and make more money and more money. And then it gets to the point where, well, how much is enough? Is there any grounds for it? Where's the pursuit of happiness? You know, where can we find our happiness? Where can we find an even keel and a balance? So one of the things that I've been pretty excited about is people going back to books. They can have their e-reader, which has a screen that lights up, or they could, as I prefer, to have the screen that resembles paper. It doesn't shine light towards you. And that's another reason that helps you get to sleep. That's not light going towards you. Light going towards you, that is a very basic primal instinct for us to be attracted to. And that's why I find billboards with moving pictures to be very dangerous on the road. I can't imagine how that is accepted by any kind of law. I've seen it in places. That really scares me. Because if light's shooting out and it's moving, that is very attractive. And it's a safety feature of ourselves. That's why I said it's a primal one. It's an instinct for the issue of safety. Getting out of the way if something's coming towards you, movement and light, or movement and or light. It just attracts your attention. Apologies to anyone listening who can't see, so. But then there's those other things, so, you know, things being really loud, catching your attention. So going back to books on paper or with a paper-like screen is actually quite healthy for you. There's been plenty of studies, I'm sure, that you've seen them, where, yeah, it's keeping you up, all this light in your eyes and the way that it moves and all that. And that's why I've been so grounded, because I had so much insomnia at the end of 2013 when I started the second draft of Margaret Chaussette to Pray, and people were stepping up to the plate and saying, yeah, this is what I want, and because of these reasons. And after a few chapters, my sleep pattern came back. However, there was still all of the stress using the social media. Since I really had to yank, really, I mean, it took so much, and I needed all of your moral support, the pen pals, the friends, the people keeping in touch with me, the phone calls. I needed so much moral support to get out. And when I got out long enough, it was just incredible. It has been like getting off a hard drug, and I continue to feel refreshed. Going to bed at night, getting up in the morning, it's just so incredibly cozy. Going for walks, smelling smells that I just haven't noticed in half a decade at least. And the sense of nostalgia for some of the shows are coming back. Because I was just doing so much analyzing. And things would be funny, but you know, you watch an old show, and sometimes maybe you weren't even alive, but it's just reminding you of all these things. And part of what's great about nostalgia is some of the bad things that were going on back when the shows were produced. That's not the part you remember. And sometimes the problems they're having. You're just enjoying the space of a home. And I think that's why, even though Dark Shadows can get really stressful and tense, sometimes you just go, well, you know, I've seen this so many times, or I know it's a show, and you just get kind of lost in the home structure. And I wish I could kind of be there and enjoy that space and the old things in there. and the relaxing aspects. Because you'll notice in a lot of these shows, they're not watching TV all that much. It's mentioned here and there. The Stevens home, it's like, well, all these crazy things are happening, but gosh, that just looks cozy, that window seat, or some of the stuff she's cooking for meals, or just the fact that they're going to sit down to a meal, or just the fun stuff they're doing on the Addams Family. There are so many pastimes for the Addams Family. It might have, when I made the list, actually outweighed the recipes. That was incredible. And I would share them online in a list, but it just seems like no one wants it. Everybody's just looking for photos. That's still pretty horrifying when I see all the photo collecting going on. I just go, oh gosh. And I just try to step away because I've done the best that I can. There's not much else I can do. I'm noticing people spending that much time just getting so obsessed with imagery and losing their ability to have conversations. So not much I can do about that. But some of the shows, especially in motion, you just get a sense sometimes that you're there. And that was what was so attractive about it. And it was usually the commercials, when it was not on DVD or something recorded, that just shot you out of it. And that's why it was so annoying. You wanted to be back in that cozy zone. And the commercials weren't cozy. They were trying to get your attention. Just like the social media is trying to get your attention. I battled the social media to get your attention. And I either made it 50-50 or I lost. They're way better than me at getting your attention. And that's another reason I think people beyond myself were ranting and raving, because they couldn't get their needs met or the attention they needed, so they felt like they had to be more extreme. Because with the social media, something else is getting people's attention. They're not getting their needs met, so they get all rankled and riled and ranting and everything. Since when, for our social needs, did we have to compete with company advertisers? It's obscene to have to do that. So I pull back, and it's wonderful. And some of the nostalgia for the shows are coming back. That just sense, that little something that you can't put your finger on, but you know is there. And we call it nostalgia. Maybe you call it something different. Now, when it comes to entertainment, now I've already touched on the DS 2012 film. I don't care anymore. Watching 5 years of that much being rankled, forget it. I don't care anymore. I told you, it's bad for your health to get that riled up over nothing. If you don't like it, turn it off. If you don't like what I'm saying, turn me off. I tell ya, make a choice. That's why I was able to do a lot of this, because I was making my own choices for decades. But with that, I made a friend. And I try to call her on the phone once a week, and she's helping a lot, and I'm sure she'll recognize herself. Not sure if I should say her name, so, but thank you. She was getting interested in Dark Shadows. She'd seen the film. She was fine with it. When we talked over the phone, she was like, geez, what's the big deal? No, I enjoyed it. And she watched the revival. And she got enough through some streaming means for the original Dark Shadows. And then I just said, I'll just go to my local shops and see if I can find some cheap copies. Didn't have to order online, nothing. I had good luck with it. It actually seemed cheaper going to the media stores to look and buy it off the shelf. It's been nice. So then, as we're having phone calls, I managed to say, well, where yet? What volume? And very recently, we'd finally gotten to the subject again, and I noticed that what I needed to send her, which I just did, I just sent it to her home, it looked like on the back of the box it was getting into the 1795 era. I said, oh, I think this is what you're getting. I think that's what this part is. So, okay. Well, it's the back history. It's all the back story, and it goes on a long time. But you know Angelique in the film. And that was why she was able to understand where I was coming from with the pit in certain regards. She knew some of the original, but she knew the film. And I said, see, 1795, you know Angelique from the film? And she's like, yeah, well, she was a villain. And hated her. She's like, yeah. And I said, when you see the 1795 portion of Dark Shadows, the original, you're going to hate her 10 times more. And her response was, oh, sounds great. Can't wait. That is very natural understanding of entertainment. And one of my reflections after we got off the phone was, yeah, it makes sense. It's more healthy to hate a villain than a real person, because they're not real. They're fictional. And she'd also sent me some Disney villain postage stamps. And I hadn't really been, you know, desiring them, but it was really thoughtful. because she wanted to get me postage stamps in exchange for these DVDs I was sending to her, rather than just sending money. It was easier to just barter with postage stamps. But when I reflected on the villains, the Disney villains' postage stamps, I said, you know, there is something to be said about this facet, that it's simple storytelling, and they are very particular about making sure, at least with what we grew up with, knowing who the villain is. And knowing that you kind of love to hate them. They kind of let you hate the aspects of ourselves that shouldn't be encouraged. And we get emotionally involved. And that was another thing that I particularly liked about Ever After. With Disney's animated Cinderella, it felt like she is so nice, she's too nice. She would probably forgive her stepmother and her stepsisters. But with Ever After, you had one stepsister who sort of turned good. She was sort of good the whole time, and then she just got more and more encouragement to go in that direction. And the other stepsister and the stepmother, it was very much let the punishment fit the crime. And it relieved a lot of us who had seen the other versions of Cinderella. Because one thing that kept bothering us is that these villains that were torturing this poor girl were probably never going to get punished. Nothing was going to happen to them. There was no rue the day. Everybody lives happily ever after, including these people who were totally cruel, without any understanding of what they did wrong. That is why, when I look at Angelique, I see the shift with Jason McGuire, very clear villain, owns it, into it, knows that what he's doing is wrong, but he just loves himself for it. For some reason, Angelique, she's got a mix-up in understanding what love is, and she wants it. And that's where I saw, okay, yeah. And there's a potentiality for that. Like with the 1840 portion of Dark Shadows, they took an Angelique that had not been Cassandra and hadn't been all those other things, and that's why Oisin wants to work on that. One part of the scrapbook memory summary of Dark Shadows that me and Helena and other people have talked to about it absolutely adore is it's described as when they find Angelique again during the Leviathans period, she's married to another guy, not obsessed with Barnabas anymore, and she tells whoever finds her that she has grown weary of the Collins family. We're like, this is the Angelique we want. We want one who has grown weary. That's who we want. And I'm not sure that I can get her there with where we're going with the pit, but gosh, it just makes you feel so good. All right, I'm tired. I'm tired. But the renounce and powers thing. How can you have Angelique without witchcraft? Like I said, it's silly. Especially when Bewitched was on the air in those same years. And the same station. I saw it. It was ABC. Could not believe it. Oh my gosh. The same channel. The same time period. Blew my mind. So, I'm hoping to wrap this up soon here. One thing that y'all might want to know about is being in touch with Auntie again. It's really wonderful because we're going between the telephone and doing a little bit online. And she still continued to be a really good influence. I'm offering commentary for something she's doing, and she's offering commentary for the marriage novel, and I am so elated. It's not going super fast, but it's very nice just because she's really putting in some substantial thoughts about both what's happening in the story and the writing itself. And I just think about myself as a nervous teenager looking up to her and think, gosh, we really come this far. But her show was my run home from somewhere show. And my husband, he was saying, yeah, even I remember. You were like, oh, well, her show's going to be on. I got to find good radio reception and get a blank tape somewhere, somehow. So yeah, you know, I had that. And then darndest thing, find out she's a Run Home from School Dark Shadows fan. It just had never come up before. For some reason, it never came up. It's almost this nice little gift at the end of the horror. Or near the end of the horror. It's gotten to the point where, yeah, I'm trying to make a relief series, and now you're listening to the soap opera of my life and trying to do that in this day and age. But it could be providential. And so, yeah, it's really given me some very substantial thoughts. And the kind of suggestions that I can handle. I can take her seriously. a lot of people just being invited to pretend to be a critic. That's just, it wasn't helpful. It was just like, I'm just rolling my eyes going, oh, you know, I'm sorry that you were brought up to believe this was the deal, but for me, it's not. And it's funny too, because there are certain habits that my aunt had and possibly still has. And one of her things about those habits is she was like, yeah, I'm trying to keep people away. I don't want to invite too many people to surround me. And it reminds me of a conversation I had with at least one person, if not about three. Well, what are you doing? You'd be scaring people away. Well, I'm not getting paid, and I'm getting pretty much abuse and neglect and all that and rude behavior. Yes, I want to scare people away immediately. I don't want rude people, and I don't want dishonest people, and I don't want people who aren't interested. It's just unbelievable. I am not getting paid for this. A lot of that idea of being critical, a lot of it was for people trying to sell you something. I'm not trying to sell you nothing. I'm trying to engage your interest, if you are interested, and get you talking. I can't get anything else out of it. So it's really twisted what's happened. But at the same time, when I look back, I mean, a lot of it's just anger, just frustration, anger, stress. I can't believe this is happening to me. On top of losing so many very dear people from so much hard-earned effort to find the right people in the decades of my life, and just seeing them dropping like flies because of this social media nonsense. And so all that stress, yeah, I ranted and raved, and I had every right to. But when I look back, certain people got scared away. Some of them were actually some of the rudest people. It's like what I mentioned my mom saying, you got rid of them, good. And I've consulted her about that repeatedly, making that podcast where I was quoting her, and she's all, that's exactly how I feel. You don't need these people if they're going to be treating you like that. That's the last people you need. Because we've already, her and I, we've already escaped a lot of toxic folks. They don't help. One thing I did want to point out, like in the first intro, I said, you know, a little bit goes a long way. I did get a few emails, but it was always for episode one. It just felt like I had to just keep going, even though all anyone was doing was saying something once. And when I wanted the contact, I figured I'd get an email per episode of what they were enjoying, and that just didn't happen. I was very happy to get what I got over the years, and I tried to write back, and then they just wouldn't write back, so I was like, well, all right. I mean, there's only so much I can do with the stress I'm under. What it felt like I'd missed in that first intro, when I said a little bit in the first, that it would be per episode. A ton of listeners seem to get this idea I could just keep producing episodes after I hear a bit once. And it really wasn't healthy for me to get that kind of assumption. As you can see, I was running on fumes and ether after a while. There was just nothing to go on, minus when I begged a few friends to churn out. So, plus it is odd with how fast the internet is, how slow humans have become. And you can see all around us how not having that human nurturing as we once did is making us decay quite a bit. That's why I wasn't going to stand for it, and I had to find a way that would work, which was what worked so much of my life. Correspondence, writing letters on paper. I had email later, but then I would prefer the pen pals on paper. And all through those times, no one writes letters anymore, and there I am doing it. Got boxes just in the last couple years. Boxes of letters. A lot. Grocery bags full, if you need that. I got them. I've got that many letters. And some I have had to throw away because I just don't have the space. But that is what's working out. So I wanted to make the suggestion of, if you're just listening to this online, a person could theoretically comment on episode 16 to get the ball rolling. But what's worrying me about that is if you start with episode 16, you haven't generated your own understanding of the other episodes, so I'm worried that the continuity will get kind of lost. And that can happen even when people are sticking to it pretty well. That's why I said getting in touch with me personally always seems to be the best thing there. For some people who feel like it's homework, it only feels like homework because we haven't been doing it naturally for either half a decade or a whole decade. A lot of the things that we grew up learning, a lot of that stuff that was homework, book reports, and all that, That was to generate the thought processes in a way that would maintain your memory and the experience of what you were reading. My only qualm with book reports back in school is I just wasn't interested in the book most of the time. Then when I got into independent studies, my teacher let me pick what I wanted after a little while of doing some basic stuff just to get started in the student process again. I was happy and jazzed with that, although there was one book that I was like, oh, I wish I didn't pick this. But for the most part, it was great because I was able to pick something high school level. I think she let me go a little higher, too, because that was encouraged. Pretty sure Dune was in there somewhere. That opportunity, yeah. So I didn't have any problem with the work itself. I wanted to learn. It was just not having the choice of what I wanted to read. And like I've said before, if you give someone a book about a topic or a set of topics or a theme that interests them, it becomes very easy to read and keep your interest. That was the big difference that I noticed growing up. So rather than just say, read books because it'll make you smart, pick a book about something that holds your attention. That will make you smart and hopefully wise. People talk about emotional intelligence. I call that wisdom. That's what I call wisdom. So you could say either one. I'll get them either way. So you can be very smart but not very wise. With all these choices being thrown at us, I believe that's another reason people get upset. They're being thrown choices they don't want. That's why I have cut off a lot of influx, because I want to be able to enjoy my life and make the choices of what I want to enjoy. That's the whole point. Got all this great stuff. Like I said, I'm concerned. You know, I say go to the last episode to help out if you want to get started there. That would be okay if you understand the rest of the episodes and what's going on. You have, like, some idea, oh, this happened or whatever, you know, or you'll remember easily. That's my only concern with that. If you think you could do it, great. Go to 16 or go to whatever the last episode is. Another idea is that, well, maybe you could just go to the beginning of season 2, 14, 15, and 16, or what we will have available someday. But just remember, for the instruction manual, if you are just online only, go to the beginning of this podcast. And then hopefully you'll go through that step by step. And when I'm talking about something that isn't essential, you'll be going to links and thinking about it or pausing me or whatever. So, oh, I wanted to end this with a song I've really been thinking about. Part of it is just because of the lyrics. And I'll probably put them up on a blog post so you guys will know what I mean. Stop worrying. Enjoy life. Take care.